Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Brainwaves, hear the world differently. Bringing community mental health to you, raising awareness and challenging stigma. Tune in to 3CR Community Radio, Wednesdays at 5pm.
Melbourne's Drive Time Radio program, featuring community organisations, powerful stories and information. Find us at brainwaves.org.au. Proudly sponsored by Wellways Australia.
I would like to begin by paying my respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which I am coming to you from today. Land where at Brainwaves we tell our stories, and land where the traditional custodians have told their stories for many, many years before us, and continue to tell their stories. I would like to pay my respects to Elders past and present, and acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners who are listening today.
The elegy is a poetic form that originated in ancient Greece sometime between the 7th and 6th centuries BCE. The word itself comes from the ancient Greek word elegos, meaning a mournful poem. In its earliest form, however, the elegy wasn't confined to grief. It could reflect a range of subjects from love, war, and of course death. More than a millennium later, thanks to a bit of semantic drift, the elegy became more closely associated with mourning and reflection on loss. The elegiac tradition has inevitably found its way into popular music. Songs such as Hello It's Me by Lou Reed and John Cale, written after the death of Andy Warhol, or Let Me In by REM following Kurt Cobain's death, and of course Prince's Sometimes It Snows in April, written after the death of a character he portrayed in a film he directed and starred in. These are a few examples of elegy expressed in contemporary song. And that brings us to tonight's guest, songwriter Angus Legg, joins us on Brainwaves on 3CR to talk about grief and a song he recently composed after the death of his father. I'm curious to explore whether his work also continues this tradition of elegy in contemporary song. Welcome to Brainwaves, Angus.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mark. What an elegant introduction.
Thank you. I guess before we get started, would you like to tell us a bit about the song you've written and if you consider it to be a type of elegy?
Interesting. Yes. Well, I will let you in on a little secret. I didn't write this song. This is a song my father wrote. So my father wrote this song, and he wrote it for me before he passed away. Now, I didn't know this song existed until after he passed away. I'm not sure whether it was intentional to not tell me or whether it was he passed away quite quickly. He got diagnosed with cancer and passed away 3 to 4 weeks after his diagnosis, so it was pretty quick. So maybe he just never got a chance to tell me about it, or maybe it was an intentional Easter egg, a beyond the grave Easter egg. However, I found it, I heard it for the first time at his funeral. In answer to your question, we've been communicating before this interview, and I had to look up what elegy meant. And at first I was like, I wonder if that's a typo. I don't know that word. very self-assured to just assume it's a typo if I don't know a word. But anyway, I looked it up, and I've always wondered how to describe this song to people. Like, it's a things I've previously said, like it's a message from my father to me beyond the grave, or it's a philosophical outline of the way he liked to live his life and what he deemed an ethical and moral way to treat people. And elegy seems like a really good way to frame all of those things. I feel like it is a poem in itself. I think a lot of the songwriting I'm really drawn to and that I make is It's not, I don't try and intentionally create them like poems, but it just seems to be the way I write. You could write it on paper and it would, if it had no music, it would kind of look like a poem. It would resemble, it'd be poem-esque. And I think that the song, sorry, May All Your Friends Be Artists, definitely fits in that category. I do think it's, those words have always been very, very special to me. So yes, in answer to your question, I think so.
And what does the word grief mean to you? Since we're sort of, talking about, the emotions that do come from, you know, when we do lose someone.
It's a weird word, isn't it? I think grief, the word itself is, I think, often taken as a feeling, like a grief being a feeling or an experience even, you know, and grief is an experience of losing someone. I don't think you ever stop grieving. I just think it always sits there in the background. And it's really important that it does. I think it's really important that it sticks with us, because I think grief is humans showing that they cared about something, like another human. That's the double-edged sword of connection, I guess, is when you lose someone, it is sad. So grief is great. Grief is a wonderful thing to experience, because it means you've loved someone and you've loved someone deeply. But to me, I feel that grieving is an ongoing experience, and it's weird. I think we all have these experiences in life, right, where you meet other people that have gone through something similar to you, and there's this really instant understanding that's almost ethereal, difficult to explain. I think that, you know, when I meet someone else who's been grieving someone they love, and we're at different stages, that's what makes me understand that, like, it's something that never leaves, right? I'm just at a different stage than someone who has maybe lost someone, or is at a different point of their processing, you know? To define it in a daily term, it sometimes you don't think about it. So sometimes you do feel like it hits you very differently. So to me, grief is a very all-encompassing. It's more than a word. It's very much a human experience, I think.
How do you think music connects with people who are grieving?
Well, there is something magical about sound, isn't there? You know, something magical about something, you know, a song or something instrumental or chanting or whatever it is. Like, it makes you feel something. There's something so, like, out of all the senses we have, I feel like the auditory sense seems to elicit a lot of emotion, you know. And I think it can be the pinnacle of being able to feel really deeply about, you know, whatever, loss and grief. Yeah, I think it can, I think if people are open to it hitting them like a ton of bricks, it can hit them like a ton of bricks. If they're in a period of time in their life where they're not really thinking about it, it's not at the forefront of their mind, which honestly is 99% of the time with most people. Because if we did sit around thinking about grief all the time, it would be challenging to live. But which is ironic. But I think yes, if you're open to experiencing a feeling through a song, it can really hit you. It can really, really hit you. And it's actually wonderful when it does. It's really beautiful when it does. Sometimes I feel like I crave that and I can't access it as well on the other side of the coin. It's a very strange, you can only be ready to experience those feelings when I feel like you're ready to experience those feelings.
Do you feel art is important when we are grieving? And can you share a time when you found comfort in someone else's art while grieving, whether it was music, literature, film or painting? And if so, what was it and how did it support you?
Yeah, I really can. There's a song, you know that song, I Wasn't Expecting That, by Jamie Lawson? I wasn't expecting that. I don't know. It's a song. It's an amazing song, amazing story. And it's like an acoustic singer-songwriter song that came out a while ago. I think it was, it would definitely come out after my father passed. But it's basically him talking about the death of his wife from meeting her to the day that she died. And it is, and every line ends with, I wasn't expecting that. And it just frames each stanza differently. Like the beginning, he's talking about when they first kissed and he wasn't expecting that, or when they moved in together when he wasn't expecting that, and when they had a child together, wasn't expecting that. And it eventually lands in a place where, the doctors, they came, said it's come back again. He wasn't expecting that. Oh, that is an insane. Like I actually feel a lot even just talking about it right now. Mm-hmm. But that piece of art is awesome. And I found it hard not to not cry when I used to play that at gigs, which was not useful when I was trying to playing covers at pub gigs. I loved playing it, but it would always elicit an emotion, which is also, once again, a massive privilege to be able to feel that when you play music. But that specifically, that song stands out when you ask that, for sure.
You sort of answered this a bit earlier. But in your view, mm-hmm. is closure after loss important or even truly possible? And if you've experienced closure, what did it look like and feel like?
Never really experienced a moment of closure. It's I've definitely experienced multiple moments of acceptance, and maybe that's the same thing. Maybe that's a similar thing, but closure feels more like the end of something. Like I can close that book now, you know, I've read the last page, and I feel like, I don't know how important it is. Maybe I'm just not there yet. I don't know. Like it's a weird thing, but I feel like I've been pretty open with letting, the feelings surrounding, you know, the grief hit me, and so I don't know how important closure is. Once again, I think it's that this thing that I'll always be thinking about things I wish my dad could have seen, or could have, or people my dad could have met, like my partner and my friends, and that's always gonna be something that, you know, I think about. It's not this like I actively think about it, but it's just there. It's just there. It kind of looms, and it's not a bad loom. It's not a good loom. It's just a looming. Those are my thoughts on closure.
Why do you think it's important to remember those that we have lost and the way that we do remember them?
I think I can only speak for myself in this regard. Why it's important to remember people is because people have a profound impact on your life. And it's good to just personally as a form of reflection or gratitude, because someone can have a profoundly terrible influence on your life that passes away. You can still experience grief for that person, or someone that has a profoundly good effect on your life, you know, then it's good to remember that they had that effect. But also on a personal level for them, for my dad specifically, you know, he created a lot of music, and I know that that was something really important to him. And it's nice to feel like I can kind of carry the torch a little bit beyond, you know, alongside with my own creation. I can because he was amazing, and I feel like I can give the world some of his work in some capacity, which I know he'd be stoked with. And I think that's important for, I mean, I don't know, the idea of legacy is a weird one, but I think it's okay to think of a parent as to try and help them maintain or pass down their legacy as well. So I really do think that that's important to me as well.
Did your experience of grief, or the way that you do currently experience grief, does it affect you physically as well as emotionally?
I would say yes, because I do think that you can't be, I think when you're affected emotionally, you get affected physically anyway, but I couldn't tell you how. So it's a bit of a loophole of an answer, but I do think that, do you know what? Actually, I've thought about this recently in my later 20s and now early 30s. When I do talk about heavy things, I feel tired after it. I do actually feel really tired, which is great, because it would be weird if I didn't feel anything after talking about this stuff. That would, to me, signify something not being quite right. I'm not connecting with the experience of, you know, and not to say that it's hard to connect with the experience of talking about grief all the time. And, you know, even a small percentage of the time is good, you know, if you can connect with it. So, yes.
In what other ways did grief alter or shape your life?
Well, I always say that the death of my father, and look, I experienced, unfortunately, like quite a fair bit of death in my family from the age of like 15 to 20. Like, it was my dad, grandparents, an uncle and a cousin, all on the same side of the family. It was just a really unlucky period of time for my family. They were dropping like flies. And I do like to incorporate humor with grief as well. I think having a dark sense of humor is actually, as long as you're not, you know, hiding and repressing your feelings, I think it's important to laugh about the darkest of things if you can. So through that experience of losing people, initially for the first, you know, 4 or 5 years after my dad passed, I didn't even acknowledge that something had happened. You know, I was like, yeah, but you know, people have it worse. You know, there's worse things out there. I'm lucky. Look at me. Like, which is true. It's all true, but it's also, everyone's experience is very relative. And, so it's just a bit of a backstory to my answer. But, beyond that, I started to really understand that those are big things to go through. And what it helped me really zoom out from things that weren't maybe as important. And so I always say that the death of my father specifically is the worst and best thing that ever happened to me. So it definitely gave me an insight to perspective, or gave me instantly changes your perspective when you actually process it and you look at things around you and go, whoa, I could mindlessly live for 20 years and not understand the value of what I have here and life and the people and what's happening. It made me, you know, introspective, a little bit more introspective too. I think I had to try and understand myself, because there was a lot of chaos, because I, you know, I was just kind of living subconsciously and I didn't feel like I was awake to what was going on around me. And I was just very much being a little chaotic and not taking care of myself and not taking care of the people around me. And it wasn't the type of person I wanted to be. So I had to look inwards and go, right, what's happening? Why are these things happening around you? And why does it seem to, you know, why do you seem to be the common denominator? Like, what's going on here? So I had to do that. That was, and I maybe wouldn't have done that without grief. Maybe it's hard to tell, but, yes, I think it has majorly shifted my perspective on life. It's good to remember that as well.
You've spoken how music helped you move through your grief. Mm-hmm. From your experience, what else can support someone who's going, you know, going through a loss at the moment?
Well, I think that it's a look, if you can, leaning on people and trying. People, number one, as a really basic answer, the people around you. Some people aren't ready to you know, talk to other people though, and they may never be. Some people never want to talk about it, and I don't recommend it, but it's okay. You know, that's some people have their own processes. Yeah, I think sitting in the feelings is good too. I think that music, you know, once again, this is, if music can elicit that, those feelings in you, I think being sad about it is important. Allowing yourself to be sad about it. If you can't be sad, being sad around others is quite hard. You know, if you can be sad on your own for a sec and you're okay doing that, that can be really, that can be really therapeutic as well. Yeah, I feel like I've got a lot of really basic answers, being just trying to take care of yourself and trying to recognize chaos and not lean into it. I feel like that's been a big thing for me personally. Or you could listen to Mail Your Friends Be Artists. That would really help.
We're going to play it soon. How long have you been writing and performing music?
So I've been writing music since I was probably 18, and I'm 31 now, and so it's 13 years. But I only released my first song in 2021, and then it took me 2 years to release my second song. So I've really not been doing it for a hell of a long time. I don't think I even have 10 songs out on Spotify. So it took a long time between, you know, creating for me to actually gain enough courage and to put my fear behind me to actually pursue it. It took me a long time to do that. So been writing for a long time and performing. I've probably been performing since I was 18 as well. I used to be terrified of performing. It's now almost my most comfortable medium. Which is great. I love that. You know, sometimes I find social events much scarier than getting up on a stage.
During your period of grief, did you find your creative process changed at all?
I don't think I was being that creative during my period. So I guess, yeah, I just stopped doing it. I think I was creative here and there for a long time, probably even pre my father passing. I never really thought. I just enjoyed being creative from time to time. It was nice actually to not have it have any sort of professional implications, you know. It's nice to just create. But when I was grieving, I didn't really create that much. I was just kind of trying to live and survive and go through life. But I think adjacent to this question, I do write. My creative process is very much a therapeutic one. A lot of the music I write is sad. It's the sad. It's how I express my sadness, which is very valuable. And I used to try. I used to be a bit ashamed. I probably still am a little bit ashamed of the fact. Like I feel like I have to almost apologize for the fact that my music's so sad. You know, which is it's a because you know I do feel there's a bit of a stigma around sadness still. It's like people don't want to go and feel sad. That's not a positive emotion, you know. It's not immediately a positive emotion. So I do explore a lot of my grief and a lot of other sadnesses in my music.
So you mentioned before that the song was written by your father, but did you sort of finish it in a way? Was it, did you contribute? What did you contribute to the piece?
Okay. So it was written and recorded and it's released. It's on Spotify, his version's on Spotify. So I didn't change a thing. The words are his. The message is his. What we did do in the recording was take his vocal from his track. I don't think I'll say this sentence very often, but thank God for AI. It was, we managed to use the stems from his original song, get just the vocal, and we put it over the song we made, and it sounds like I'm singing with my dad. So he's in the song. He's kind of performing in the song. That's the, But the arrangement is mine and my producer's, which his name's Jim Alexander. He's incredible. It was actually his idea to use my dad's vocal from the song. I didn't even see. I'm not like that technically minded when it comes to production. I didn't know what was possible, but he was like, "I've managed to get the vocal from your dad's song. We've got to use it somehow. We've got to put it on." And I was like, shit, yeah, that sounds awesome. Let's do that. So we did that. And that's how it came to be the way it is.
You mentioned that your dad kind of kept it a secret that he'd written this song. How did you come across it? And, yeah, how did you sort of discover that he'd written this song before he passed away?
I heard it at his funeral for the first time.
Oh.
Yeah, crazy. And I wasn't listening to the words. I just heard a song, knew it was his voice, and I was like, that's a beautiful song. I wonder, I didn't even think anything further than that. I was like, and then, I really found it difficult to experience emotion immediately after my dad passed. Found it tough. One time I could was when I listened to his CDs. So I had the CD that it was on. I had that in my car, I had three different CDs of his in my car for years and years and years and years. I just, when I felt like it, put it on. And, I started listening to the record that song was on, and I started listening to that song, and I realized, oh, this is about me. This is for me. And I didn't, and, I spoke to some of his friends at the time, and they confirmed, like, not that I needed their confirmation. It's pretty obvious. He doesn't have any other children. So it was for me. And, I suppose if he did have other children, it wouldn't be specifically for one of them. That would be terribly mean. But it was probably in the year following his passing, the first year following his passing, that I kind of found it. And it was my go-to crying song, the ultimate cry in your room song. That's a song my dad wrote and recorded and released for me. It's pretty crazy.
We're speaking with musician Angus Legg this evening on 3CR, and coming up is his track, May All Your Friends Be Artists.
I may sometimes walk beside you when I'm a long time gone. Come the weekend, we'll go fishing and spend the whole night by the water. And in the evening, we'll build a fire, and in its light, we'll talk till morning. May all your friends be artists as I take my leave of you. May your heart be always open to another point of view. May your voice be fair and artful, your argument be strong. And may I sometimes walk beside you when I'm a long time gone. We'll remember days days in London, sometimes grey, sometimes sunny. Watch the sparks like moments dancing, sometimes sad, sometimes funny. May all your friends be artists, 'cause I take my leave of you. Your heart be always open to another point of view, and your voice be fair enough, your argument be strong. A man sometimes walks beside you when I'm a long time. Sometimes walk beside you when I'm a long time gone.
What was it like to weave some of your own contributions to the song that your dad had written before, you know, he did leave us?
Into the May All Your Friends Be Artists?
Yeah, what was it like to sort of add some of your own, you know, pieces into that?
Well, it was actually a moment that I had always wanted to do. So it definitely came with an element of I was just really stoked I did it. So I was really proud. I was really proud to have had the idea to record my dad's music and put it out on a body of work and see that through. So there's a lot of pride. But you know, the actual process, it was seemingly emotional for everyone around me, but for some reason I didn't quite I wasn't connecting with it until I was connected with it more when I released the song. It was the release of the song that I really felt all of the emotions hit me. I know this isn't quite the answer to the question, but I was quite excited when we were creating the song. I was just excited about what was possible and what we were doing. I understood. I feel like I understood how big it was as a, it'll always be my favorite thing that I've ever made. I can't imagine making anything that makes me feel more pride or more, you know, it's, yeah. So I'm not sure that answers the question, but there's some thoughts.
How did people who knew your father respond when they heard the finished piece you'd produced?
Ah, look, I got a lot of wonderfully kind Facebook messages. And yeah, it was a little overwhelming. Like it is 10 years beyond, you know, 10 years after his passing. And I think a lot of people, I'm no longer in contact with like a lot of his friends, because I wasn't in contact with them prior to him passing anyway that much. But the people that did reach out said some wonderfully kind things, and it was really special.
For any listeners who may be experiencing loss right now, is there anything you'd like to share with them?
Look, I feel that it's something that you can't run away from. It's really something you can't run away from. And the sooner you face it and accept it, or you know, do your best to accept it slowly and whilst being kind to yourself and being wary of not allowing yourself to slide into feeling guilt, remorse, shame, regret, any of those things. I think that the sooner you can look at it, the better. I do think that that is something, and everyone's going to be ready at their own pace to do that. But I think there's it's a powerful thing to be able to look at it, reflect on it, and allow yourself to feel the emotions surrounding it, for sure.
And finally, where can people learn more about you and explore more of your music?
Okay, well, I'm on Instagram. I'm on all the social media platforms. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm Angus Legg Music. And you can find me on Spotify. It's Angus Legg. That is like the cow and the body part. So with two G's. I've got an EP coming out in the next 4 or 5 months. It's going to be five tracks coming out in the next 5 months, which is the most I've ever released in a concentrated period of time. So I'm very excited about that. And please don't hesitate to DM me. I reply to everyone. So if you want to DM me and you want to talk about this stuff, I'm always open to exchange a few messages. So please don't hesitate.
Thanks, Angus, for joining us at Brainwaves this evening. It was a pleasure, and I hope our listeners will check out some more of your music.
I hope so too. Thank you for having me, Mark. It's been special.
You can find more of our shows on the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au or wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to send us any suggestions for shows you may have via email at brainwaves@wellways.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Wednesday at 5 p.m. for another episode of Brainwaves on 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.